This is the E-Squared Podcast, recording from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection. What's up, everybody? Today, our guest is a Las Vegas native, tastemaker, true influencer, clothing extraordinaire, and creator, Northtown's own, D-Mob. Let's go.
Podcast.
There you go. We live, baby.
Good stuff.
What's up, man?
Chilling, man.
D-Mob, motherfucking legend.
Cheers.
Cheers, bro.
My man.
Salute. We're just gonna do a little bit. Oh man. 6 o'clock in the after, dude. Nothing better than a glass of Jameson. Yeah. Goddamn.
It's a good way to start the day.
What's up, brother? You had a long day at work. New job? What's up?
Always, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
What are you doing, UFC?
Yeah.
Congratulations, so, bro.
Thank you.
How'd that come about?
Mom.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, mom's
mom came
there.
Through?
Mom's been working there for around 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's she do there?
She is a part of the travel department, so.
Oh, shit.
Now I'm kind of backing their team up.
Oh, out, so. Why are you not in Abu Dhabi right now?
Nobody's in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're doing all that remotely?
It's strict, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shit. Everything's real strict. It's like a need to go.
Yeah.
Type of deal?
Basically.
Dope. Right. So how's that?
It's like cool. It's cool. I just, you know, a lot of data entry, basically.
Oh, so really? That's a dope company to be working for, though.
You know, because of the pandemic, I'm working from home, so.
Oh, really?
So
you don't even got to be over there.
Dad duty and work.
That's fun.
It's chill.
That's fun. Yeah. That's dope, bro. Well, congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
That's such a dope company to work for.
It is. I worked there when I was 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like,
oh.
I'm 30 now, so mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
You're 30?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I got one more year,
it's
bro.
It's cold, bro. 31 next month.
Damn. For real?
Yeah.
Damn.
Old man now.
You know, old. I feel like 30 is like, I'm kind of looking forward to being 30. I'm 29, just turned 29.
Right.
So I'm kind of like looking forward to it. But it's weird because, like, when I turned 25, I was like, man, I'm old as fuck. I'm getting old. And now when I'm 29, I'm like, I feel young as fuck, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know, man. I feel like your prime is your 30s.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's interesting. It's a turning point, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of new discoveries, I guess you could say.
Yeah, hell yeah. So you're a dad, too?
Yes.
Father, too?
Yep.
Dad, damn. How's that feel?
It's tight. I like to think I got a cool-ass family, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Everybody's creative.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm sure they get that from you.
And mom.
Yeah, and mom,
definitely,
too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, your daughter has a whole t-shirt company?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's been getting crazy lately.
Really?
Yeah. Just
the orders flying out?
Yeah, man. We did a little, what is it called? I don't want to say a protest, but a rally.
So we did a rally. Oh, hold on. I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that. With all the kids?
Yeah, it was like a kids against racism rally.
Mm-hmm. And you guys organized it?
Yeah, my daughter and pretty much my wife, they organized the whole thing.
Damn.
And it was just kind of like a friends and family thing, and it blew up.
Really?
Like five to 600 people showed up.
Kids.
It just turned into a thing, kids, yeah.
That's
kids
a beautiful
and, you know,
thing.
Families, yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
It's a trip, bro.
So where'd you guys have that at?
That was at Craig Ranch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we just over on the lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
Did it over there, and it was dope. It was really
That's
dope.
So important for the kids to get out there and realize, like, you know, their voice matters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But having a kid, how old is your daughter?
She's 11.
And how old, you have a son too, right?
Yeah, he's 5.
He's 5.
Yeah.
So your son is probably, your daughter really probably has more grasp on what's going on, or is kind of more in tune.
Yeah.
So what's the conversation like that with what's going on in America right now? How do you talk to her? What do you say to her? And what does she think? Like, what's from her perspective?
I think it's more of a, she's asking me questions, you know. Obviously, we're all on social media. She has her Instagram that she partially runs. My wife kind of oversees it.
Yeah.
But, you know, she can see with her own eyes what's going on. And she has, usually she's asking about the origins of things. Why is this like this or whatever the case? And so we've just been really trying to clue her in as to why things are the way they are right now, the cause and effect, and she kind of just puts her own plan of action into place, and we just kind of follow suit and help her.
Yeah. So do you see her getting into like politics and stuff when she gets older? Is she outspoken and stuff like that? Because it seems like when people, like young people, they get started at a young age, it's like their passion. They're really passionate about it, and it translates into adulthood. Yeah. You know.
I don't know if politics is going to be for her. I know she doesn't know the ins and outs of politics. I mean, you know, well, yeah, she's 11, yeah, yeah. But she knows enough to be like a decent human kind of thing.
Right.
But honestly, she's more a creative, I would say. Yeah. So designing things. I honestly think she'll probably be like a clothing designer of some sort.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's getting started. So she's so ahead of everybody else. She's 11.
Yeah, bro.
And she's learning the business side of it too?
Yeah, yeah. So she runs the whole business pretty much.
Oh, damn.
You know, we just transitioned into screen printing her stuff. So originally we were doing heat press vinyl.
Right. Were you doing that at the house?
Yeah. Just straight from the crib. And I would just cut the vinyl for her. She would press it up, get the shirts, do the inventory.
Tofu tees, right? Out.
Yep, tofu tees.
Damn. So what's the theme of it, would you say?
Well, so I'm not vegetarian.
Okay.
I eat steak and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And, but my kids and my wife is vegan. She's been vegan for, I think, 15 years or something. Mm. And my kids are both vegetarian, never had any meat before. So
really?
Yeah, basically they like tofu.
Okay.
And she wanted to make teas. That was it.
Really?
That's the origin of the
like,
name.
That's dope though. Something like, you know, it's really that simple. She just took the steps forward to bring it into fruition.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. She came up with it when she was 8. So I mean, you know, just the simplicity and.
Yeah. See, that's dope that she's so lucky to have you guys as parents. You know?
Yeah, we all lucked out, honestly.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. Because a lot of it's so sad, like a creative kid that don't have creative parents or.
Yeah, no kind of outlet.
No kind of outlet or no support system or no. They just need a little bit of guidance.
Right.
You know,
it's
like,
rough.
This is how you put a. You want to make t-shirts? This is what you got to do. Just put a. You know, get your vinyl and just press it down. You know, you can make something simple. Yeah. But a lot of kids don't have that, man.
Yeah, and you know, it's a process. And a lot of kids don't have that attention span, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
I notice that difference with my kids from a lot of other kids is once they get into something, they're like zoned in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily the stereotypical child things.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Goddamn, D-Mob took your whole glass down.
Bro.
Some more, bro?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here, I'm going to slide it over to you.
My man.
Bling, blah. There you go. So have you and your wife been exposing your kids to certain ideas or certain things just in general in life and on purpose to kind of push them in a creative way? Or
I think a lot of stuff just comes naturally for the most part or just through circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, especially obviously with my situation when I got shot, the gun violence thing was on the table like immediately.
Yeah. How old was she when that happened?
She was, let's see, what year is this? 2020? So 5 years ago, she was about 6 or 7. Seven.
She was old enough
to
understand.
She had just turned 7, yeah. And so really just them. I would consider us to be hip parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not in the norm of just, you know, people settle down with kids.
Work a job and shit. Yeah.
We're not like, I mean, now it's fucked up. Now I'm an office dude, but, you know, coming up, I'm streetwear brand.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know,
you don't come from that world, yeah.
Right.
You come from the streetwear brand or like the street culture and all that. You don't come
from the office. Yeah. And my wife, she was a designer for a while back in L.A. Mm. So we've just always been on a different mode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, luckily both of my kids, they've been able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's just it brings a different point of view for them for sure.
Yeah.
So like with my parents are both, you know, they've been working their whole lives doing what they do.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Yeah, of course. But it's. They have a different view of them.
Right.
Versus
just life in general kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I feel you.
So it's, you know, it's different, but it's dope.
Yeah. I think that's what interested me, like got me into
Because I grew up playing ball, playing sports all the time.
Right.
So I wasn't really into, like I was, I had friends and in high school and stuff with streetwear and all that. Like, you know, I grew up rocking LRG. That was my shit. And
Sidekicks.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was, but I never really dove into it until I got a little older. And I think it's partly because my parents, I was never exposed to it as a kid. You know, my parents, they worked, you know, they were in the casinos and in the hotel industry. So, you know, but when I got into it, when I got older and I got into it, I was like, damn, I've been missing out, bro.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? I've been missing out. It's such like a, just an organic vibe, especially in Vegas, because it's like still like marinating and still coming to fruition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you feel about the scene and the clothing scene out here? How much has grown?
I think it's great, man. Honestly, mm-hmm. like it's the evolution has just been really crazy.
Yeah.
I think the shoe side of things is a different animal, mm-hmm. but fashion-wise, clothing, I think that's gotten its just due, especially
sure.
as of late. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that aren't taking that one-hit wonder approach, you know what I mean? Coming up with the idea,
yeah.
throwing it out till it gets too old, and then...
Yeah.
So it's a lot of longevity
yeah,
out
for
here
sure.
right now.
Man, I was... bro, Downtown 6 has been... on my radar for a while. He's been around yeah. for a while, and I'm like, I feel ashamed because I didn't know you own Downtown 6.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I
you don't.
Don't
own it.
No.
Oh,
no. Downtown
okay.
6 is a collective.
Okay.
I'm in charge of Lefties.
Okay.
And then Downtown okay. 6 is a whole different.
Okay.
It's like a brother sister kind of thing.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I was under
no
the
worries.
That's why I was like, okay, now I feel better about myself. Because I was like, yo, D-Mob owns Downtown 6. Where the fuck have I been?
No.
You know what I mean? But even Lefty's Lounge, I didn't really realize how that was your shit. You know.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
So, back during the October 1st shooting, I was approached shortly thereafter by the Downtown 6 team,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted me to do a collaborative skateboard with them to do for charity.
Mm.
And so I designed this board, and we did a little charity for it and raised some money, and it was really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. At the time, I was working on my own brand, and they hit me up again, so... just called a meeting or whatever, and that meeting they proposed an idea to me, and that idea was Lefties.
Mm.
So it originally started out as a Downtown 6 design,
mm.
and they felt that they could do a lot more with it,
mm-hmm.
and they basically called me up to do that.
Sick.
And so, yeah, just...
I love it, bro.
Took the reins.
I love it. Who's behind Downtown 6?
I cannot say.
You can't say? Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
They got you on
yeah.
NDAs?
No, not necessarily.
Right, I got you. I got you. Damn.
This is the first time I'm putting it out there that Lefties is my operation, more
oh.
or less.
Oh, really?
You know, obviously it's all of our operation, but mm-hmm. I'm heading it,
yeah.
creative, directing.
Yeah.
Well,
you're doing a great job with that.
Thank you. Because
Lefties, the Vans... with
yeah.
that and all that. That shit is, I mean, just what you post on there, the number one brothel.
Yeah.
In Downtown 6 too, it's when I scroll through the pages and I look at the content, I look at the clothes and all that, it's
mm-hmm.
it's very reminiscent of old Vegas and how Vegas started, and it really plays
right.
into Las Vegas history. Which
yes.
I'm like infatuated with that.
Yeah.
I'm infatuated with the history of Las Vegas and how Las Vegas came to be. I've done so much research
yeah.
on it, read books on it, you know. So when I see, that's why it's like Downtown 6 and Lefty's Lounge is it gets me excited.
Yeah, I mean that we feel the same way, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, 6th is obviously downtown based,
mm-hmm.
and the whole idea is just that history,
mm-hmm.
and you know, kind of putting that out there. Whereas Lefty's is telling the untold story of brothels
mm-hmm.
in the state history of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try and touch base on a lot of that imagery and
yeah.
just the feel of it and all
yeah.
that stuff. Having the phone number on the shoe, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. People don't want to talk about prostitution.
It's the one thing that's a part of our city that's untouched,
bro,
you know, as a subject.
It's personally, I think they should legalize it. personally.
I mean, hypothetically, it's...
I mean, it's legal in Pahrump out there.
Right.
But I think, I don't know, man. For me, it's like I have this vision of Las Vegas and how, you know, what makes Las Vegas, Las Vegas. And it's yeah. not fucking, it's not the Excalibur. It's not, you right. know, circus. Even though I love yeah. circus and all that, I think this is an adult city. It always has
Sin
been.
City. Yeah.
It always will be. And like when I see people, tourists walking down the strip with their babies in right. their strollers, I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
Right.
And if you, on any given day of the week, if you go down on the strip or even on Fremont at 1 a.m, you're going to find one stroller.
At least.
One yeah. baby out there.
Some passed out baby in a stroller.
And what is, like, this does, it's not good. It's not what we.
It's mad weird, honestly.
It's so weird, bro.
But the adverse, any given day, you'll see somebody walking down any part of Vegas with mm-hmm. one of those big ass margarita glasses.
Yep.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing out yeah. here for the most part. Yeah.
Out here, that's the allure. That's why people come to Vegas.
Right.
That's the selling point, yeah. you know? And if you add, if you add prostitution into that, I think our economy would boom.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we all know prostitution is very prevalent,
it would do the same thing as a dispensary.
Exactly.
Same shit.
But I think yeah. it's different in the sense of, because it's happening either way, right? So my view on it is, if you legalize it and you get these girls a safe place to work,
right?
Yeah, you protect the girls. They don't have pimps, you know, and they don't. You can cut the pimps out of the equation. And we all know pimps. I mean, we're from Northtown. We all know some pimps, you know. And it's nothing against them, but it's just like, come on, man. You
Let
know,
them
like,
legalize their hustle.
Yeah, it's like
not only that, but honestly, bro, the way they test for the damn virus is like mm-hmm. you can throw a little STD test or AIDS test.
Oh yeah,
whatever,
and it's safer
you know?
For everybody. It's
exactly.
safer for the.
If they ran it the same way as they're doing all this shit right now,
exactly. Should be profiles like, okay, you wanna spend time with this girl? When's the last time she's been checked or whatever,
right.
and all that? And then it's safer for people coming in and. You know, they want to indulge, you know, they want to have yeah. a getaway, you know, they want to have an adult getaway, and they
it's
should be
weird.
Entitled to do that.
It's
you know?
Weird, bro. Just the way the city operates right now is
yeah.
a trip to me.
But honestly. It's also so weird because everybody has sex. We all fuck. We're all fucking, you know,
exactly.
like how are you going to just because money's thrown in the mix, it's two consenting adults.
Right.
Why, who are you to tell them what? It's like you're gonna tell a woman she can get an abortion or not, you know that's
right.
that's in law, but
right.
you're not gonna allow a woman to just choose how she has sex with you
can,
know it's like
you can punish them for what they do after, but you won't let them do what they do before.
Exactly. I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I feel like it would be a lot of money in the city, bro.
It would be, and
a ton.
It's just safer too, man. You know, like
you just can't tax it. That's the problem. They can't figure out how to tax it.
Why not?
I guess because it's humans. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you give, so you have a brothel, you just create a brothel,
right?
And it can just be like a barbershop. Like a woman just pays
type
her,
shit.
Her
yeah,
woman pays
exactly.
her monthly booth rent for her room,
right.
and she can go in and out as she pleases, you know. But she pays her booth rent, and then you tax on that,
right?
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean,
you give
that's
a safe
the
space,
best
you
operation,
know.
Yeah,
so. I think, I don't know, man, but back to advocating for prostitution. So Lefties, so where do you see Lefties Lounge going? What's your, in 5 years or whatever, like, where do you see, what do you want to do with
Honestly,
it?
Honestly, man, there is no real
Good,
end
like
game.
That.
There's just, it's just work, you
mm-hmm.
know, like for instance, this summer I did 2 shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a low top and I did an old school
mm-hmm.
and they both did really well
mm-hmm.
and I literally just finished the last of them I think last night
mm-hmm.
and so now it's just back to the drawing board. I mean we have a calendar of things, so you know 6th they just did a drop
mm-hmm.
And then after that I'll be doing another drop, so it's, you know, we just kind of go back and forth, but we have some things lined up
mm-hmm.
at the moment, and that's just how I want to keep it going, keep the momentum and just organic growth.
Yeah.
That's why I never told anybody it was my shit or
okay.
that I was even a part of anything
yeah, yeah.
because I didn't want that you know, get judged or whatever the case. I didn't want any my name to hinder anything for the brand. So
I feel you. I don't think your name would hinder any brand, bro.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Your reputation, your reputation is pretty solid out here, man.
Hope so.
Yeah. So what else you got going on, man? Besides that,
chilling, man. Just we're working on the on my daughter's stuff. Then obviously Lefties.
Oh, but Brandon told me to ask you about your patio.
Oh my God!
Give you some patio. Share some patio stories with us.
My parents' old house in the north was that patio was like the unofficial meeting spot for all things important. So like that patio is kind of like, I don't even know how to
the headquarters.
How to explain it, bro. Like everybody's been to that patio. Everybody. Yeah.
Damn.
Like I've taken a photo with somebody, smoked with them, whatever. All that shit is happening on that particular patio. A lot of things were born and died on that patio. Yeah, it's crazy. Man. A lot of history.
Brandon was saying that you gave him his first beer when he was 14.
I probably did.
He was out there handing out beers.
I really don't even remember.
What's some shit from Northtown, like parties and house parties that you remember that were very, let's take fights. A trip down memory.
Fights, a lot of fights. But outside of the fights, a lot of just really just getting trash, being young.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Drinking 40s and shit.
Yeah, like. You went to Mojave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all 4 years?
I went to school with your brother.
Yeah. I know.
And Yogi.
Yeah, and Trade.
Yep. And Cruise. So Cruise were a big thing back then. Hookah first came out and shit. Like.
Yeah. Hookah, bro.
Yeah, bro. I don't know, a sophomore?
Yeah.
Hookah. I was like 16. Hookah was popping. That was it.
Yeah, in high school, we used to smoke hookah all day like it was crack, bro.
Burning holes in the carpet and shit.
Hookah makes me sick today.
Yeah, no.
I can't fuck with that shit.
Last time I smoked hookah, I got sick as a dog, and I was like, no. And that was years and years ago.
Yeah, bro. I used to smoke it like it's nothing, but... Like, bro, this shit is weird. Like, the whole it's so much work, man. The process of it.
Yeah.
But people make money off that shit.
Hell yeah.
You know?
The hookah, what do they call hookah? Not bars.
Lounges, hookah
lounge.
Lounges,
yeah.
Yeah, Northtown, there's been a lot of talent coming out of Northtown, too, man.
Plenty, yeah.
Rab's my top three, bro.
Yeah.
For
Rab,
sure.
Rab, top three. You know,
you got a top three? I wasn't going to ask you, but if you wanted to. Who's on your airwaves?
It's a little subjective, but. Because I don't, you know, all these are homies, so
right,
I don't
want
to necessarily rate them, but I would say Rab is definitely on that list. Oh, no particular order, let's say that.
Okay.
So Rab, I would say probably for Trade, obviously. And probably longevity wise, a tie between like Hitman and
it's tough, huh?
Probably Reed.
G Reed's so nice, bro.
Yeah, that's my guy. Yeah,
he's nice. Yeah, I want to get him in here. His that last manifesto.
Yeah,
he just dropped. Solid, bro.
He's one of my favorites because of the progression. You know, he You can, every project, you can hear it. Everything just straight up.
Yeah, he's super active on Twitter, man. He got me bro, dying laughing on Twitter, bro.
I deleted my Twitter a couple years ago, so I've been purged of my sins.
Bro, it's too much, bro. Social media is too much,
dude,
man.
Yeah, I got enough with Instagram. And
I know, man. It's social media is like... I feel like I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. I don't know if you want to call that, but social media has kind of been, I feel like the whole mind control thing is definitely in play.
Hell yeah.
Like
it's repetition.
If they figure out an event where everybody, most people are tuning into social media at one time.
Right.
And they do some weird hypnosis shit. You know what I mean?
Low
and they
key.
Take control of us right there, you know? We're locked on our phones. They tell us what to do.
They do that through, well, to me, they do that through like viral moments. So, for instance, all this shit is going on and out of the blue, everybody cares about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. That kind of weird shit.
Like, I know. You think somebody's behind all this? Or you think it's just us? You think it's the users being irresponsible?
I think that's the illusion. Mm-hmm. And that's what fucks everybody up, is everybody's trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Who's behind it, or are we tripping?
Yeah.
And so that's the allure.
I think we have too much freedom. I think definitely social media needs to be regulated.
You know, to a degree, yeah, hell yeah.
I think first, because I like my niece, she's 12 years old, mm-hmm. and I hate to put her on blast, you know, but she, I go on her, or I asked her what her screen time is, 15 hours.
Holy shit.
In one day.
Oh,
well,
man.
Just that particular day.
Oh, yeah,
it's every
that's
day.
Wild.
But, I mean, it's summertime, so she don't really, and it's the whole lockdown, so she don't have really much to do, so yeah. You can blame it a little bit on that, but Jesus Christ, 15 hours in one day you're on your phone.
I'm not even trying to be up 15. I am up 15 hours. That's but what I'm not trying to be,
bro. And you're on your phone,
right?
You know, and there has to, all these kids that age have to be, you know.
Right.
How's your daughter with the phone? Is she do you limit her?
She just got a phone, bro.
Good job, bro.
And she's been doing so well.
You got her flip phone
type shit. We got it's an old ass iPhone, like iPhone mm-hmm. 5 or some shit, and then you know, she's been doing so well with her business. Mm-hmm. You know, we let her buy a Switch. So
what's that? I'm not hip to it. I've heard of it, but I'm not hip to it.
It's like a game. It's like the new Game Boy, basically.
Oh, Switch.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about Twitch.
Nintendo Switch.
I'm thinking about Twitch. Okay,
yeah,
no, Switch.
One of those
okay,
little
I got
joints.
You.
We let her buy one of those, mm-hmm. and so now that's what they fight over, more or less.
Yeah. So she's in charge of a. She gets her money. Like she does her accounting or her finances and all that.
She just.
Damn, she bro. When she's 18, or when she's older, bro, she's gonna be a boss.
She's gonna be a beast, man. It trips me out. Like, she's doing all her own invoices now. And mm-hmm. just,
are you gonna put her back in public school?
Hell no.
Good job, bro.
Well, she.
God damn! Don't do it. All these kids going to public school does nothing for them.
Honestly, she goes to oh my god, LEED.
Oh really?
So.
Oh, that's a it's a magnet
LEED
school, right?
Is a STEM academy.
Okay.
So, that's the only reason I kind of want her to go back, but just like the trajectory mm-hmm. of everything. My wife works for the school district, so.
Okay. See, school is cool for social purposes. You learn a lot about social dynamics and making friends and, you know.
You know, it's crazy because as social as I am and, you know, they know how to socialize a little bit better with adults than they do kids.
Mm.
So that's a big reason I would like them to go to school and continue it. But outside of that, man, it's like, shit.
Well, they're not going to be kids forever. They're going to be adults a lot longer than they're going to be kids.
Exactly.
So it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just, right now, the school thing is like way on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking about it.
Man, I don't know, man. Like, think about when we were in school, we were taught Christopher Columbus was a hero.
Bro.
How did that come to textbooks? And it's like a joke, man.
I've been seeing that they're throwing books out over coronavirus scares, mm-hmm. thinking the books are infected.
Oh, man.
Full dumpsters full of books.
People are so stupid.
Shit is wild.
Bro. What do you think? What's your diagnosis of the world, man? And where are we headed? Are we on a steep decline or what?
You know what? This shit is fucked up, but I'm trying to stay out the way.
That's all you gotta do.
That's all I'm doing. Man,
just see, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to buy some land. Instead of getting a house, I want to buy land and be self-sufficient.
Right.
Because this pandemic really, really helped me realize, like, going to the grocery store, there was about a two-week period of this pandemic where I kind of worried. Like, I didn't I was never, like, panicking. My mom was kind of panicking. Some of my family members were kind of panicking. And I was like, this shit, I felt like people were overreacting big time.
Mm-hmm.
And wish they were. But when I would go, there's like a 2 week period when I went to, it was in April, when I was going to the grocery store, it's cleared out. Right? I walked in there, no toilet paper,
shit.
You know, a lot of the food was gone. And I was like, damn, it made me realize, like, if there was, and this is just like a flu in a sense. If a real disease, which I think in due time, it's always, something's gonna come about, you know. I think it's just nature's
cleaning
course.
Up,
So I think when that time hits, how bad people are gonna panic.
I think it's gonna be some, human shit.
Yeah,
before
or that
a virus. Yep. Honestly,
biological warfare.
Yeah,
100%
type shit. Yeah,
especially after this, it like to Russia or to the Chinese. China, like, look how whatever. Vulnerable we are. Look right. how fast they can unleash a flu, bro. and we'll shut down.
If I was another country looking at us right now, I'd be like, oh, they some bitches.
Yeah, I'm taking for real, them out. They're weak.
I'm
yeah.
taking them out.
Easy. You yeah. know, it's like it's a different world in the sense of. The next war isn't going to be, oh, we're sending troops over, yeah. you know, to fight each other. Like, nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, fuck no.
The army's at, like, an all-time low in enlistment, you know?
They're going to blow some satellites up and shit. And
something,
fuck
bro.
The power grid up. And then we're all screwed. My power just went out of the house the other day. Like, the whole block went out.
Bro.
And damn near every family was out on the street bugging because they're thinking some shit is going down.
We're so like, spoiled. Bro. We're so spoiled, bro. Oh, my God. We're so spoiled. We don't even know it.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts.
We can just go to the grocery store and buy whatever rib.
Literally anything,
yeah,
bro.
Chicken, beef, like.
Outside of, like, what, crack?
Or, you know, yeah, exactly. What else could they do? They could infect the, put some in the water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't have your own well, you're fucked.
Water, food.
Come on.
The fucking air. We already see what the air is doing.
Bro, that's why I want to just buy some land, get my own well.
Get some a bunker,
and shit.
Build a bunker.
Build a bunker, bro. Underground. That's the only way I'll ever really have peace of mind.
That's
because from now
shit.
On, I'm just like, man, it could hit the fan any day, and I'll be fucked.
All this shit happened, and the first week, I started watching Doomsday Preppers. Just
oh yeah,
out of curiosity, like yep. oh shit.
People been waiting on this type of shit.
I know. All this time, I thought they were fucking nutcases.
Exactly. Nope. And then they're like, told you so.
Super prepared.
Man.
Like, damn.
They're the ones that's going to... I think it's only a matter of time, bro, for a comet yeah. hits.
Type shit.
Bro,
yeah.
there's so many ways,
Some
bro.
Secret shit happens. Man. Like, a comet just comes out of nowhere. Like,
bro, if they know the comet is in direct trajectory with Earth, they're not going to say shit.
I wouldn't.
To invoke panic?
yeah, I wouldn't say shit. Be like, oh, shit, a comet just hit us.
Bro. What are you going to do anyway?
Damn.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's it.
Shit, bro. World's crazy place, man.
It's trippy, man.
So how do you feel about all the America, though, more in particular?
It's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird.
I think we're heading in the right direction.
I feel like it's like a tug of war right mm-hmm. now. There's the right and wrong direction mm-hmm. getting pulled.
Oh, 100%.
Leadership-wise, we're fucked.
Oh, but, fucked. I don't understand, bro. I don't understand how we have Biden and Trump. Like, these are our options. I don't understand it.
If people don't get it, I would say, look, if you have a great-grandparent alive, ask them, do you want to be the president? And if they say some goofy shit, then you already have your gauge right mm-hmm. there. Like, Joe Biden is too fucking old, bro. That's too old when he was with Obama.
The last thing we need, the last type of leader we need in America is an old white man, period.
Look, he could be white, black, Asian, right. bruh. Old man white. Is an old man.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Joe Biden, kind of creepy, bruh.
So creepy. You see that video just came out?
Sniffing kids and shit?
Yeah, like whispering in their ear and shit?
Yeah, that's weird,
In
bro.
Front of all their family?
That's weird, bruh.
You should be automatically disqualified.
And the family didn't do nothing, though.
Bro, like, it's like...
That's weird.
If I was her dad...
Those are not the mannerisms of a normal person.
No, bro. And he said it. You can hear him saying, oh, you make me so horny or some shit. Oh, bro. Bro, he whispered in this girl's ear, and it's not funny at all. It's quite disgusting, but it's just
that
weird
shit
that...
wild, this shit.
It's just weird that he's our political, like, representative to beat Donald Trump. Like, we couldn't find anybody better.
Bro, yeah. I mean, Trump, that's a whole different story. Yeah. Shit.
You vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not voted.
I started with Obama, honestly.
Cool.
That was my first time.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted, because, you know, as there's a big disconnect with young people in politics. And
yeah.
Most young people feel like their vote doesn't matter.
That's the big thing, yeah,
which,
for sure.
Which I completely understand, because, I mean, Trump didn't even win. If I'm not mistaken, Trump didn't even win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College.
Exactly.
So...
Which why we gotta get rid of that shit.
Exactly. So our shit doesn't matter, really, in a way.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, like, I don't know how that works.
It's, some other weird shit, man. Yeah. I don't even think we need presidents right now.
No, we need a council.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
We need a council of of people that have to take like psychological exams and shit like that,
and their backgrounds have to be verified.
Yeah,
and they have to be like each group of people have need a representative.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. That they vote in. You know.
Yep.
But
that would be gangster. That'd be dope.
Yeah, but like some Star Wars shit. You know?
And then if somebody like Kanye West were to win, then it's like, all right, cool. So everybody agrees that this motherfucker probably should have won.
I know, man.
So
Kanye, man.
That's all bad, too.
But it's all bad.
It's a different story.
It's just celebrity. It's just, man, it's just the celebrity culture in America is disgusting. We're so invested in, it's like the Will and Jada thing. Like we're so, I was watching it because it's everywhere. Right. And then I said to myself, I was like, the first 2 minutes, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? I don't care what they got going on in their relationship. If Jada's cheating on Will, like, it's none of my business. They're still, you know, like, I don't want to know about that shit.
Back to what you were talking about with the hypnotism and shit. I think it's like keywords. Some certain words people have never heard in context.
Mm.
And that shit triggers something where you need to look into what's going on. So the word entanglement is such a word. You're like, damn, I never heard this shit in a sentence before.
Yeah, that word.
And you're like, huh.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This bitch used entanglement.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see what this is about.
Yeah.
And that's where the rabbit hole starts. You
Jeez,
know?
Man. That's crazy. I never thought of it like that word really. That word is kind of the star of the show now. It's not even Jada and Will.
The surprising part is it's used in the correct context.
Mm-hmm.
So like the definition of the word is what she's using it for. So it's like. That's what it's all about, the words, how you use them, how people hear them, how people take them.
Yeah, it's a show.
It's a trip, bro.
It's a show.
It's weird as shit.
You believe in aliens? I know you do. I know you do. You have to, bro.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, but I'm not like super invested in it. It is what it is. Yeah. That's how it is with me. Like,
yeah, I feel you too. I don't get, all the conspiracy theories and shit, sometimes I do go down a rabbit hole and I start looking into all of it, but I never allow myself to get too invested in it because I can only worry about what I can control.
Right.
And all that shit is way above my fucking pay grade. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's just one of those things. What the fuck are you going to do if there's aliens?
Right.
Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I have
a gun. And that's all you can do.
And what the fuck is that? You're like, if
they got laser beams and shit.
Right. If something can beam you up and shit, like, bro, I don't stand a chance against this shit. So I'm going to go ahead and keep living, bro.
I think the aliens are here and they're blending in with us. I think they're blending in with us.
Skin crawlers.
Yeah, they attach themselves to, or they look like us.
It's one of my favorite movies, The Faculty. You ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
What's that about? It's an old joint. It's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
But it's like Usher's in it and shit. Like it's an old movie. Yeah.
Oh shit. Usher's in it?
Josh Hartnett, I think Usher, just
the
random.
Faculty, it's on Netflix?
It may be. I don't
really?
Know. Yeah, you have to search it up.
Mm,
it's
okay.
An old joint. It's a 90s joint.
Oh, okay.
They basically drop little aliens in their ears and take over a school.
Oh shit. All right.
And then the kids figure it out.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's dope.
The nineties era of movies is it's crazy, man.
Yeah,
such a beautiful time of music and movies.
Right,
really. Yeah. You know, I just watched this movie called Showgirls. You ever seen it?
Oh my god, the OG Showgirls.
Yeah,
it's a terrible movie, but
terrible
it's tight.
Movie. So the acting, that girl
tight.
Was so terrible acting.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like it just gave you a glimpse into what Las Vegas used to be.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
sick.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So what else is on your radar now? What do you like? You know, what have you been having conversations about with your homies, or, you know, you've been talking about the world or what? What's going on?
Fuck, man. I've been researching moving to Japan.
Oh, really?
A lot of shit. Like,
why?
Just
talk to Tinesse. That motherfucker has.
I know. So my wife is from Hawaii as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So
he goes to Japan all the time. And Maki's from Japan.
Oh, no. Yeah. Right, yeah. So we're just been looking into that, trying to learn Japanese and shit very slowly. Oh. But
do you consider Japan a streetwear mecca, in a sense?
I would say it's a hub. It's definitely a streetwear hub.
Okay.
I would say the mecca's New York.
Mm.
For sure, 100%. Like, all the OGs.
That's where it started,
Cruz,
pretty much, huh?
James Jebbia, yeah. Like,
yeah.
All those guys, that's for sure the, like, X Large. Like, a lot of people don't even know about X Large. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the OG brand.
Yeah. Who do you look up to in that space?
Streetwear, locally or just in general?
Both, just like designers or brands.
So Sabotage Does Shoes,
okay,
out of Singapore. And that was one of the main reasons I started the shoes,
mm-hmm,
or even started like wanting to paint shoes in general. Let's see, Futura, dope. Eddie Cruz, that's the homie. He's the co-owner of Undefeated.
Okay.
Shit. James Jebbia, obviously, he owns Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, all the major level heads. There's a lot, man.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. Do you go to Agenda every year?
No, hell no.
Why not?
To me, that's... I fuck with a lot of brands that go to Agenda.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, that's the cookie cutter. This is streetwear.
Mainstream
festival,
bullshit.
You know, Complex Con tried to redo that, and it was cool,
mm-hmm,
for a little while. Then it started becoming that same cookie cutter thing.
Mainstream,
and really,
shit.
People fucked it up with Complex Con. They were trying to do a lot of dope shit, and consumers. Everybody's a fucking reseller now, and all that shit just burns. It just burns the scene out, and you know, there's a certain way I think that you could resell, but a lot of people aren't hip to it, and a lot of people, that's how shit gets fucked up, you know, flooding the, you know, beating the shit up.
Yeah, I went to Complex Con 2018 in Long Beach.
Yeah.
I think it was the first one, actually.
That might have been the one Feature had a booth at.
Maybe I went in 2017. I don't know if it was that long ago they first started it, though. I think it was the first year, but it was when who performed? Not Kid Cudi.
I was going to say, was it Kid Cudi? It might have been NERD.
They were. Pharrell was there.
Yeah.
Pharrell was there. Actually, but that shit was so dope, bro.
Yeah.
I saw Nipsey Hussle speak.
Dope.
In person.
That's fucking dope.
Bro, it was him. It was like a small panel of four as a discussion. I forgot the other dude. He was this... he was like this tech guy or whatever, but I saw him speak, bro. He walked right past me, like out in the hallways. That was a great experience.
That's dope.
But the Complex Con was it was so dope in the sense of like you could just walk past somebody, like you know, real easy. And I got to see Andre 3000
dope
do some artwork live. He was like drawing live.
That's
was,
how I tell
he had like a big ass booth, and he was like at a desk, and he was like drawing, and then the cameras were like showing what he was drawing live. And then, so he's just, Andre 3000 just sitting there just drawing.
That's got to be the weirdest shit, man.
It is weird. It's almost like, it almost felt like icky. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It almost felt like.
Like an invasion of space.
Well, it almost felt like an invasion of space. I mean, obviously they're agreeing to do it, but I don't know, man. It just felt like.
Like a weird museum exhibit.
Yeah. Like like, you know, it's like a live, but he's still a person, you know.
Yeah.
But it was cool though. It was cool in the sense of like you get to see somebody you've always never thought you would see, you know, in person do some cool
That's
shit.
That's mad random.
Yeah,
honestly.
So random.
Yeah.
Pharrell did some shit too, so it was just an awesome experience. But I think you're right. Like I think Complex and things like that, they do tend to make things a little mainstream that shouldn't be mainstream. I don't like mainstream shit is cool, but it's also like, you know, it kind of takes the heart of it. It kind of leaves, you know.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's, you know.
Is it hot in here? Are you hot?
A little bit.
You got the temp control over there? No? You don't know how to do it? No, it's cool. I was hot, and then I kind of seen you over here sweating a little bit, glistening. You're glistening. But... I'd say it's cool. We'll tough it out.
Could be the Jamie too.
Yeah, you know, it's probably that. Yeah,
right.
We'll thug it out.
Right.
But no, that's like it's like I think a trend like people, artists especially rappers, and their best music is like their first project, you know.
Right.
Because that's all raw, you know. And then when they get
before the exposure.
Yeah, and then when they get the exposure, they go mainstream. It kind of their music kind of, you know, in a lot of cases, I'm not going to say it applies to everybody, but their music kind of gets watered down. I think that plays to the point.
I think artists these days are getting better at not doing that and not watering down their shit
because they don't need the machine as much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, there's not like a lot of label interaction. There's not a lot of outside people looking for money, looking for you to make it big so they can get paid, that kind of shit. So I think people running their own operations is making the culture a little more pure.
Yeah, 100%. I love when artists like J. Cole and they get their own camp, they develop their own camp. They pick the talent, you know, and they kind of cultivate the talent. It's like you can't really, it's like an A&R that's not from the world, not from music, you know, trying to tell an artist what to do. It's like, bro, you're just a fucking guy. You're a company guy, you know? You're trying to tell an artist how to, what songs to pick and this and that. That's where things get fucked up, man.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So I think more artists need to step into that, you know, head honcho role. Well, I think a lot of them do, but.
It's a matter of having those places where you can do that, you know, and I think our generation is a lot more prone to being like playing all the roles. So like you have a rapper that also happens to be a photographer, happens to do artwork.
And, yeah.
You know, so they can handle their own rollout like that.
Yeah.
Easy. All they need is really promo.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people don't know how to market themselves.
That's the one thing people, especially locally, all our homies, that's 90% of the time that's what they sleep on is promo. It's not.
Because they don't want to play that internet game.
Not only that, but they just don't have the resources to promo it. True. You know, they don't know where to go.
Costs money too.
Yeah, exactly.
Costs money too. Yeah, I mean, I think, what do you think about Las Vegas? Like the artists, there's so much talent out here that can obviously blow up. That's potential to blow up. What do you think is, do you think it's our geographic location? Do you think it's the resources out here? Or do you think it's just a matter of time? Like, what do you think is holding somebody from here back?
I think it's the comfort. I think that this is a place where you can be really comfortable. You got to look at it like we're unlike any other place in the country. For the most part, we're open 24 hours a day. You can go walk down the fucking street with alcohol in your hand and drink it and be totally fine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You pretty much can, now you can just smoke, go to a park and smoke or do whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like the leniency brings comfort and that comfort brings laziness. And a lot of people aren't willing to buckle down. You know, they are willing to give themselves barriers, you know, and restrictions and go, I want this fucking bad. I want this as bad as I want that eighth of weed at Reef. So you feel what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's got a lot to do with just not being able to discipline yourself.
I think it's definitely not just, I think the music is the easy part. And then when you get, but you got to package it and you got to market it and do all that right from top to bottom to really gain a fan base. Because I was in a management position with a couple artists out here. And I could definitely see the disconnect between, they think they can just put out songs and they're just going to blow up. You know, it's kind of like being naive and trying to searching for that one hit wonder, you know, and not even one hit wonder, just searching for that one song that is going to put them on, you know. I just need one song and I'm on, which you never know. I think it could happen, obviously it could happen, it happens, but those times where you see it happen, it kind of makes you feel like it can happen to you, and the chances of that happening for, like, you know, for anybody, local artists, it's very minuscule. The fact that it happened to them, bro, that's a
perfect storm situation. Bro, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be on some real, like, literally a perfect storm, you know? Like, things have to line up perfectly in order for that. Like, a one hit, like, you just randomly drop something and then, boom, it just skyrockets.
You didn't even plan for it.
Yeah, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's the only, when you plan for it, that's when it's like,
self-sabotage, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's, I think one of the main things, bro, is there's not enough, just how you said, self-sabotage. There's just not enough, like, carefreeness, like a just there's no nonchalance about this shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they go into it with a make it or break. Like, this gotta work.
They put too much pressure.
This
on
fucking
themselves.
Has to work. This song, every time you get in a booth, this is the one, not how it works. You know.
Yeah, you got to put the 10,000 hours in.
Yeah, and you just have to have filler. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're going to be an established artist that's making albums, not every album doesn't have a fucking, it's not a number one song.
Yeah.
You know, there's a skit. There's certain things that are in that album that really aren't supposed to be anything per se. Mm-hmm. But
I think a lot of artists that with the likes and views and all this shit, we're looking too much at that and forgetting to build a fan base of real people because I use Dizzy as the example all the time. Is Dizzy's never been on Billboard. Maybe he has. I'm not sure. But I don't think he has. But he's never been like mainstream per se.
Right.
But he has a career. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he hit the road and he has real fans, real people that come to his shows and buy tickets. And that's the ultimate goal for anybody. But you know, his time coming up was a little bit different than now. Like, Instagram is more prevalent than ever, and all this, and social media is more prevalent than ever.
I think that it puts more to his success because he didn't, it was harder, mm-hmm. you know? Like, mm-hmm. it was really based off of listening.
Mm-hmm.
We had, what, MySpace?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Facebook maybe just came out.
Yeah, you know? And on top of that, he had already, before he was the Dizzy he was today, he was a different type of artist,
mm-hmm.
and he was young,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to connect with the youth, and that's what, you know, these days, that's what it's about. You connect with the youth, you connect it, boom, because once the kids are listening to this mm-hmm. shit, like, for me, my kids right now, there's a guy out right now called Rumor. He always wears a ski mask and shit, he's dope. He did the fucking, what is it called? He's got a ski mask. He did like basically a trap video over a country song, mm-hmm. more or less. And my kids love this shit.
Mm.
We all love this shit, but my kids are like on it.
Yeah.
And just them.
That's what's hip to
they just
now,
They're constantly singing a group of songs that he has. And that shit makes me go, I got to look into this shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I think anybody with kids will tell you like, damn, my fucking kids like this. What the fuck is this shit?
That's how our parents were, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
When we're listening to, I'll never forget my first rap CD that I ever bought from the store. My mom bought it for me, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah.
And no, that was the second one. My first one was Nelly, Suit and Sweat.
Okay.
Suit and Sweat.
Oh, wow.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
And my mom was just like, I'm not buying you that shit. You know, I was like 12 or something like that, like, you know, it's crazy to see how times, like, we're becoming those parents now, you know?
Right.
And it's like becoming those old heads. And the youth is really where, like, you want to tap into what is next or whatever. Like, they'll tell you.
Yeah, 100%. You know? They know.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're so fucking plugged into YouTube and shit. Mm-hmm. If it's not video games, it's music.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. My nephew, he watches on YouTube other people playing video games.
It's the worst shit in the world. My fucking son is a 5-year-old, and he knows, look, I'm old school. So, like, the last system I bought was a PS2.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure my parents bought me that shit back in the day.
Yeah,
so this man knows every Fortnite character, all these fucking games. I can't even turn on a PS4. You feel me?
Right.
So that shit is crazy. He learned all that shit from watching. My son learned how to read from YouTube when he was probably about to turn 3.
Do you limit his time on a computer?
Hell yeah. No, he doesn't get on a computer at all.
Okay,
this is like, we got a Roku.
Okay.
So back when he was real young, this was like right after I got shot, it was just sitting down, I let him go on the YouTube, and I would find something for Curious George, whatever.
Yeah.
He started memorizing the letters.
Good.
And then when I couldn't do it for him, he would already know what to put in.
Mm.
So it's like, these kids are smart.
They don't need school.
It's fucking crazy.
They don't need school.
Bruh.
Like, YouTube University and Google.
Type shit. FGTV.
Come on, man. I asked that because a lot of parents, I just see so many parents just shoving screens in their kids' faces.
I hate that fucking
watch this and shut up, you know? And it's just sickening, man.
Yeah,
it's sickening. Just because you don't want to deal or apply yourself as a parent to your kid, just let you know you're not even raising your kid. You're fucking YouTube's raising your kid.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Real talk.
But and a lot of kids, they spend so much time. Like when I grew up, there was. I was outside all the time.
You gotta go out and play.
Come on, man. Come on, knock on somebody's door and ask their parents if they could play or come outside. But now you don't see kids outside no more.
But that's a testament to the world right now. No. You know what I'm saying? It's too weird right now.
Like we say we're on quarantine. We've been on quarantine.
Type shit.
Since Roku's and shit and we have smart TVs.
Like we've just been training for it.
Come on, man.
Training for the real thing.
That's a conspiracy theory.
Type shit.
It really is though.
Like if you look at it,
you think they've been preparing us?
Shit, it could be, man. Bro. Technology, bro. Technology is like
so powerful.
It's a bitch, man.
I know. That's why I want to get off. I just want to buy my land, get some solar panels, so I'm not on no electric grid. Get some solar panels, and just for my peace of mind, I can go there and be cool. You know,
just exist, yeah.
Because exactly. We wouldn't even know what to do without electricity. Technology, Wi-Fi. Oh God, we didn't have Wi-Fi. Bro. You know how frustrating it is when you go somewhere and you lose Wi-Fi,
bro.
You feel like your whole world's coming to an end.
It's the worst. As soon as you can't refresh something, it's oh my God, what the fuck is going on? What's wrong with my phone?
Man, that's why, bro. It's like that's why I say we need regulations on it because we've all become so addicted to it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that they need to like say you can only be on your phone, social media for an hour a day.
Right.
You know what I mean? The world would be a much more productive place.
Yeah, I mean, what I do with the kids. That shit works.
Yeah. Well, they need to just, they just need to be outside and be human.
Compromise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now the kids, they got to do all their school shit is on computers or iPads or whatever. I'm like, all right, you give me 2 hours of work, I'll give you an hour of playtime.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you got to find balance.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But that's another thing, too, is the communication, like kids learning how to communicate in a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%. Online, like who are they going to be as an adult? Weirdos that when they're like feeling some type of way, like they're not going to tell you, but when they leave, they're going to text you a whole paragraph,
right?
Like that type of shit.
Yeah, nah,
it's not cool, bro. Yeah,
I feel very old school. I mean, yeah. Honestly, me personally, I think me and my wife, we parent pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We parent the way we were parented.
That's
you know,
good. Yeah.
Try to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, there's like
it's a different world
adjustments,
though.
But
yeah.
Just gotta be straightforward, you know. Like I talk like a grown ass man in front of the kids. Like, I don't hold my tongue because I don't want to expect them to. Yeah, you know, I don't want them to expect to be talked to a certain type of way by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want them to be able to communicate how they need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
You know,
that's dope, man. Well, I think we'll wrap it up. That was a great talk. I can't believe you came through, man.
Bro.
I was so happy when you said you wanted to come through.
Because this
has been like it's been kind of weird for me. It's like a new venture for me, this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been kind of like I just want to see what happens kind of deal. Because I have so many great conversations with people behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, this is something I might be good at, you know?
Right.
And then I finally found a space. And then I was like, you know what? I'm quarantined. I haven't worked since March. So I just
Same. I just started my shit a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, which has been a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just been like so much downtime.
Yeah.
And but I've been able to do a lot of different things. Like I'm playing my guitar a little bit. I'm doing this. I'm like I got a puppy. So like
Looks dope.
Man, she's a monster, bro. She's a monster. But so like I had Brandon. I had like I talked to Brandon every day.
Right,
I talked to Abu quite often. Valet's like been my boy forever. So like the first couple people, like my close people, AR, they all agreed to do it. And I was like, all right, cool. Like maybe people will fuck with it. And then like when I started posting it, and then I had you said you wanted to come on. I was like, oh, okay. We might be able to do something here, man. Like, I don't know, man. It's just like...
There's a lot of people I know would just appreciate having the platform to talk.
Yeah.
Not even tell their story.
Yeah.
Just chop it up.
Yeah, because I think a lot of... social media, like Twitter, you only get a certain amount of characters.
Right.
You know, we have unlimited time here, you know. So it's a great platform to really get some understanding of your stance on certain topics and stuff and how you feel about certain things, you know. So I think it's really dope, bro. And I really appreciate you coming through.
Man, thank you.
Because you are like the big homie of Northtown. You know, when I think of D-Mom, I'm like, yeah, that's like the big homie, you know. And we haven't had too many interactions in the past, but I know who you are, and I've we have a lot of mutual friends.
Likewise,
you know what I mean. Exactly. So I've always your reputation or your name has always been in good standing. So
thank you,
yes sir.
So glad to hear it,
yes sir. So when you say you come up here, I'm like, you're next, bro. Like all my friends like that initially I wanted on here, I've already they've been on here. You know what I mean? Well, like I had like a list of five people that was like, you know what I mean?
Get them in there.
Get them in there and try to see if I can really do this.
Yeah.
And then, I was like, pull up, bro. For sure.
Yeah, man.
I
appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
It's always dope.
Is there anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nope.
Lefty's Lounge. Tofu Tees.
Lefty's Tofu Tees.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, buy UFC pay-per-views.
There we go. There you go. All right, till next time, bro. I appreciate you.
My man, appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Yeet. Solid.
Thanks, bro.
Man.